Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Kickoff and Beyond. My name is Eric. And today we're going to be talking about the Real Madrid-Atalanta game for the Super Cup. Mostly going to be talking about that. We're at this point less than 24 hours from the Premier League starting. That's going to be amazing. We'll have so much more to talk about then. We will be talking about the Pochettino hire as the U.S. men's national team coach. I guess I'll just kind of give my two cents about it. Yeah, not going to be a super crazy episode today. Like I said, it's kind of everything's kind of gearing up, wrapping up to the beginning of club season. First, let's get into the Real Madrid Atalanta game. Honestly, I was very curious about kind of how all the pieces were going to fit for Real Madrid. When it comes to these, like, I guess you call them like these like super teams, you know, where you have just like a bunch of superstars and just so many of them that can be just superstars on their own right, on their own team. It's kind of nervous sometimes. Like, as much as it's exciting, great, it can also go bad really quickly. I was someone who was kind of skeptical with Mbappe coming to Real Madrid. I loved and still love the team that we had last year. Yeah, of course, you know, logic tells you, well, adding Mbappe to that team will make you even better than that, right? But I always get worried about, you know, chemistry, how egos fit. But I did think that if there was any manager equipped to handle and deal with all these star egos, it would be Carlos Ancelotti. He's perfect for that role. He has that sort of, like, to make a basketball reference, he is sort of that Phil Jackson mentality. For anyone who doesn't watch basketball, Phil Jackson was the coach for the 90s Bulls with Michael Jordan on that team, where they won 6 championships. He also was a coach for the Shaq and Kobe Lakers of the early 2000s, where they won 3 in a row. And that was more turbulent because of all the egos in that team. Phil Jackson was able to kind of get everyone on the same page, pulling in the same direction. And it all just comes with being able to manage star egos, even more so than the actual tactical place. Simply because when you have that many great players, they know what they're doing. You know, they know how to create chances. They know how to defend. They know how to pass into space. They know how to do that. That's why they're so great. So yeah, I think that Ancelotti is the perfect guy for this. As a first go around, it seems great. I was nervous heading into this game. Not that I thought that this was really of any importance for Real Madrid, but a little bit, because it is good to kind of see the team clicking. What struck me first was the fact that it seems like the tactics are pretty similar to what I know as a Real Madrid fan from watching them last year. In the first half, they're very methodical. They don't go too aggressive right out the gates. They're real kind of even paced. Sometimes it looks like they're on the ropes because you'll see the other team, you know, creating chances and getting close calls and stuff like that. But then come the second half, Real Madrid just explode. And that's pretty much what happened for this game. I am more positive about this team than I was before this game started. Fantastic. And if they can keep this up, there's really nobody virtually that can beat them, including teams like Man City and stuff like that. Super Cup isn't really the most important thing in the world. We'll see once we get into like December, right? Once we get to January, you know, once September and October roll around and Champions League starts getting, you know, then those will be the big tests, right? The classicals and the things like that. Like, those are going to be obviously the bigger tells of how good this team can be. For right now, seeing how they beat Atlanta, seeing how their ball movement was, seeing the effort that they put, the unselfishness of all the guys, they all were trying to give each other the opportunities. And that is amazing, because what can really kill a team is if, you know, when you get the sort of egos unchecked, what can happen is the selfish play, the you know, instead of kicking it out to the more open guy, they want the glory, you know, instead of making the correct passes, you know, they want to be the one to initiate that. At least in this first game, I didn't see any of that. I saw a lot of movement, a lot of great passing, and you can tell that they're still trying to figure out where they need to be. You know, they're all Kylian and Rodrigo and Vinny and Jude. They're all trying to still figure out where they need to be or where each other is comfortable But I mean, that's kind of just stuff that you figure out as the season rolls on. You know, that those are not things that I would be worried about in the slightest. But yeah, so my closing thoughts, Real Madrid continue to be the best team in Europe. So next, we'll talk about the Pochettino hire. The U.S. men's national team just hired Pochettino for the head coaching job. Everyone, including myself, is ecstatic. He's legit, and that's what we need. That's what the U.S. men's national team needed the most, is legitness as a coach. And he brings that. There should be no excuse now from players' goals and stuff like that, because this team, I always think that this team is good enough to like push farther than, like, I've always believed that whatever people set their expectations, you as a team, you should always try to exceed them. And I'm not trying to say that they don't, but they haven't. But you know, there's been a lot of blame throwing towards Greg Berhalter, duly justified. But now having this kind of coach who coached at Tottenham, who coached at Chelsea, you know, has done a lot of good things. This is now on the players to step up. Now is time for all these guys to really stand behind Pochettino and just go. And my personal opinion, what I think is going to happen is we're going to play a couple friendly games, probably during the next international break, whenever that happens. And you'll probably see the US team like break out the gates. Like we'll probably win like 3 games in a row. And it's going to look really well. And then it will just be about keeping up with that pace. Because, look, I'm in the firm belief that a lot of people are, which is this 2026 World Cup in America is so important to US soccer as a whole. As someone who is American, I see the game spreading little by little. Little by little, more and more people are talking about soccer, more and more people are becoming fans of soccer, more and more people are accepting the fact that, like, hey, like, this is a legit sport. This is a joke of a sport, like most Americans had not too long ago. You know, a lot of Americans had the idea of, like, it's not a real sport. You know, American football is a real sport, basketball is a real sport, baseball, you know, but not soccer. But that sentiment's changing slowly. If there's never, I don't think, maybe since like the 94 World Cup in America, I don't think there's been a bigger, like, stars aligning moment where, you know, we got Messi in the MLS. We have the 2026 World Cup here in America. We have a decent to pretty good team, you know, led by Christian Pulisic. We have all these like things aligned all at the same time, and I feel like we can't let that opportunity go away or just pass us by. U.S. soccer needs to take this with the like utmost seriousness, and it looks like they are now, because you don't hire Pochettino if you're not serious. So I think that they're heading in the right direction. I still think that any criticism that people give U.S. soccer is always going to be valid, because they've done a lot of bad things. There's not really much else to say besides that. So I'll just finish off by just saying I'm excited to see what Pochettino does with this U.S. team. Hopefully, when the World Cup happens, you know, hopefully we're outperforming people's expectations, and that's all we can hope for at this point. All right. There's not really much else to talk about for this week. Like I said, I feel like this is just sort of the calm before the storm. And then I guess I'll give a, I guess at the end, since this, you know, this is gonna be kind of a shorter episode, I'll give my little 2 cents on tomorrow's game. Or maybe by the time you're listening to this, this might be going on either right now or it had just happened. Tomorrow is the start of the Premier League season, and to kick it off, we got Manchester United and Fulham. I loosely support United as my Premier League team. Now this is the moment. This is where they need to sort of make their mark, that they're serious, that they're ready, and they're gonna do this, because you cannot lose to Fulham in your opening game. You just can't. It sets a bad, like, they're not that good of a team to just like Manchester City, Arsenal, even like Liverpool can stumble out the gates, and you know that, well, they'll figure it out, they'll be fine. But for these teams like the Spurs, like United, teams like that, Chelsea too, like you can't stumble out the gates, because if you do, it's a long journey back, and you don't want to put yourself in that position already. So I think it's extremely important that United gets this win. Fulham is not no joke of a team, so I don't think this is going to be a wash by any means. Like, even for Fulham, I think this is a pseudo-winnable game. Like, they could get some lucky bounces here and there and win this game. So as United, you need to eliminate all possibilities of that. Yeah, so it's going to be fun. And that's kind of all for this episode. Like I said, this is kind of a shorter one. I apologize, not very much. But like I said, once the Premier League season gets started and ramped up, there'll be a lot more to talk about, especially for these Thursday podcasts. And especially once Champions League rolls around, this podcast will become more more packed with useful stuff. But yeah, I want to thank anyone and everyone who has listened and who has listened this far. I really appreciate it deeply. You know, this is only my fourth or fifth podcasting I've done. I'm still learning the ropes. I'm still getting comfortable speaking to a microphone. And yeah, I deeply appreciate everyone listening. Thank you very much. And I guess I should link some like social media stuff that I have. We have a TikTok. We have to kick off and beyond TikTok. I just made a Reddit thing. I don't really use Reddit too much, so I'm not very good with Reddit, but I made a Reddit thing. I want to kind of get interactive with, you know, any of you guys that are listening, because I think that'd be cool, you know, get some perspective from other people that enjoy soccer. I got this to kick off and beyond YouTube. Also, if you're ever interested in watching it, you know, on YouTube or whatever, I think that's all the main ones at least. So yeah, so once again, thank you everyone for listening, and we will catch you on the Sunday episode. I'm aiming for it to come out Sunday night. It might come out Sunday night or Monday morning. Maybe for you guys listening, it might be different time zones depending on where you live. But yeah, basically once the Manchester City Chelsea game ends, I plan on doing a podcast and then uploading it as fast as possible for you guys. And yeah, so talk to you guys then. See ya.